All right, let's get this show rolling.
Yeah.
Bam.
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Who's the best show here?
Tech Show!
Good, that's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Quarter pound of meat in his mouth.
There you go.
It was with my mouth.
My fly is open.
I'd like sweet on meat.
When you were making egg poo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's the Little Thing Tech Show, and that's a fact. If you don't like the cast, you can stick it up your ass. There ain't no funny duddies that are linking bad. For the stone link, go direct to DLNGS.org. And I see challenges at LinuxLink.net. Bound Tech Show. Just sit right there, cause the calendar's just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 1086 of the Linux Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Joel.
Good evening.
We have Joe.
Yep, I'm here.
We have Dave.
Hello.
And what came to my house the day after last week's show was my new work laptop, which is an M3
Ooh.
Mac with 32 gigs of RAM. And
speedy little machine, eh?
Oh, it is nice. What's, I think, so first thing is it does not have the ass bar at the top, which is great. I hate yep. that thing. But the keyboard is like, it's tactilely tasty. It is yep. just, I just want to type on it all day long. It's just such a, It reminds me of the keyboard I have here. It's pretty good. I will say, I love the keyboard I have on this HP EliteBook. The, Apple keyboard is just, I don't know what they sold to the devil to make it so good, but it was good. Now, the one thing I noticed today about it that kind of irritated me was the fact that the camera, the webcam is in the, it takes up some of the LCD space or the screen space. So it's got that like little cutout at the top where the camera is. So the screen is like, the display is all the way to the edge except where the camera is. And I thought to myself, man, I feel like I'm getting ripped off there. Like I didn't pay for it, but I'm like, I don't like that, because I said, you know, I guess it doesn't matter when you're running OS 10 because they don't let you really modify the layout of their interface very easily, or if at all, where you can move, I guess it's the status bar or whatever at the top. Like, I don't think you can move that anywhere else. You can move the dock to the left and right or bottom, but it doesn't let you move it to the top. So I was like, I mean, if you were running anything else, like, I don't know, Linux or X, and it was full screen, that would take out a little piece of the screen. But I guess it's a minor thing.
Now, did you get the latest OS on it too?
What's the latest OS?
You know what? I had to double check what it is. I have the latest, on my work one.
That's a good question.
It's Sequoia.
I think it might be Sequoia. What was before okay. Sequoia? Was it Sonoma?
Sonoma.
I have to double check. It's either Sonoma or Sequoia. I'm thinking it's Sequoia, but I don't.
One easy way to tell is if, like it has things like, the photo, Oh, I'm trying to think of the photo thing.
I don't know what the photo thing is, so I probably don't use it.
And it's the AI one, Apple Intelligence.
I have no idea. I don't know. I don't.
I'm trying to remember what the name of it is.
When did Sequoia come out?
Like, last fall. So like this past fall.
You know, I'll double check. I'll let you know. I'll let you know. It's either Sonoma Or, yeah, it's going to be either Sonoma or Sequoia.
Now, one kind of cool thing with it, with Sequoia, is since my work phone's an iPhone, and of course it's tied into my Apple account, like say if I'm sitting at my laptop and like I need to go look at the Okta on my phone to approve a login, you know, I could do that via my mouse on the, and open up the phone on the laptop, which is very cool. Very cool.
Well, I don't have an iPhone, so that doesn't.
Photo Playground is what it's called, I think.
See, I don't know. I would not use a photo app on my.
Yeah, on my, I get
on
it.
My work laptop. So I don't know. In fact, all the shit that that had on that dock, I just removed all that crap from there. Not that I deleted it or uninstalled right. it, but I never used any of those things, you know.
Like, I don't know why, but work gave us, like, let me install Canva for nothing. That's like
I don't even know what Canva is.
It's like a template. Like, you can take a picture, you can add text and crap to it, you know, things like that.
We'll see. I'm not using
it's kind of weird.
But, I mean,
our guy at church uses it a lot for making photos to share during the week.
I had no problem setting my stuff up.
It's not one
although,
I use.
Although, what I didn't notice was when I went to do the caddy stuff, for some reason, it would not – like, everything's set up fine. And caddy is we're using it as a reverse proxy so that we can put all our applications behind a – locally for testing behind a single domain and have that configured in Okta so that when it authenticates and redirects, it goes back to that local domain that's defined on our machine. So, and now everything's behind caddy. If for some reason, like it just wouldn't work until I rebooted, which was odd, even though caddy was running, I don't know what was going on. At first I thought maybe a firewall or something might be preventing it, but after a reboot, it was working just fine. So I don't it's kind of annoying that, and I don't know why they did this, but I use Brew for a lot of stuff, and they moved, on the Intel Macs, Brew is installed under user local. But on the M1 Max, Brew stuff is installed under Opt. Homebrew is what it is. And that was kind of annoying because that kind of messes with our scripts that we had set up particularly for Caddy. I don't know what other people were doing. I kept getting people asking me why during the Caddy setup, one of the things that we had done was in our authoring support repository where we had the configuration file, the script symlinked the Caddy configuration, which is in either user local Etsy or opt homebrew Etsy Caddy file, symlinked it to the one in authoring support so that if that ever gets updated, all you have to do is just, you know, Brew services restart Caddy, or I think that's what it is, and it'll pick up that change. But I didn't have this problem, so I don't know what other people were doing, but a lot of times when they would try to go do that, for some reason it would not respect a symlink from opt homebrew Etsy Caddy file back to the Caddy file in the repository wherever they had it.
Oh no! I just found out some horrible news. The Happy Greek?
It's closed?
They're closing, yes. They just announced they're closing.
That's terrible. So, I don't know why there was a permissions issue for a lot of people. I didn't run into it. I'm assuming that they didn't install Brew properly, because I had that happen. I had to figure something out with somebody else. I don't know, like, what they're doing. Same thing with, like, if you're messing around with NVM, you have to be careful that you don't end up making something owned by root that shouldn't be, and all that. But anyway, I had that up and running fine. So on Monday, I got hit up because I got in the laptop on Thursday, and the first thing I had to actually do was request at, I don't know why they do this. It's like so stupid, right? So you don't get admin on the machine, but I need to get like admin to install certain software. So there's a form, like you, I had to go into ServiceNow and request admin access, Joel. Yeah, there we go. Oh, every time ServiceNow, it's always different and it always pisses me off, but so I didn't get admin access until that afternoon, like late afternoon. And it's really stupid because there's a, in self-service, there's a button that you can press to give you temporary admin access. But before mm-hmm. it can give you temporary admin access, you have to go into ServiceNow and fill out a form to request temporary admin access, to which your manager has to agree to that, which we don't have a problem. And then it grants you temporary admin access. So then what's the first thing you do when you get temporary admin access? You go right into the user.
Give you a permanent one.
Yeah, you go right into the users and groups and you give yourself, you know, the ability to administrate the computer. And the old person that used to run our technology local, the head of the technology department locally when we were down in Chesapeake. And, she would just like hand me the laptop with the admin account username and password and say, you know, here, set it up, do whatever you need to do, you know, cause
right.
they knew that was going to happen, you know? And so.
See, there's some, I have some weird things. Like one thing I noticed, especially, just because every once in a while, they must have made some changes with our upgrade to Sequoia, and they enabled, like, not that I almost always lock my laptop before I walk away anyway, but occasionally, like, if I'm sitting there and just staring at the screen and not moving my mouse or something, it'll just automatically go to sleep, right, or bring up the screensaver. Well, I thought, well, I don't like that screensaver that comes up. Let me pick a different one, right? It won't let me. It's locked. That part's locked down by a. We use a workspace.
Isn't that stupid? Like we kind of have a similar problem. Like I can change the settings on power management because I tried to fiddle around with that for the deletions that I were doing because it would take like 6 or 7 hours to run through the script and the laptop would go to sleep and shut off the network, and every time that I would make the changes necessary to not put it to sleep or do that, like their software that they have on there, the monitoring software, would always revert it whenever it would like refresh itself. So I had to go the route of playing one of those 10-hour videos that you go to sleep with at night.
Right.
That seems to get around that. But if I don't have that active on, like that is the active application
window, right? Yeah.
Yeah, the active window, it will go to sleep even if that's playing in the background. And then it'll stop my scripts. And yeah, it is really annoying. And I don't like it. But I mean, what are you going to do, right? You got to work around this crap. And there's always ways to get around it, right, Dave?
Yep.
So yep. I came in, like, I started work on Monday, and I still had some stuff I needed to finish up on there. And people start hitting me up. They're like, why isn't my pull request, like, running the tests? Why are we having problems? Like, so I go look in there, and, like, it's just sitting there waiting for a runner to be picked up. And in some cases, it's, like, stalled at the integration test. So what the integration test does is it builds the container and then it pulls down a Cypress container. So it runs the application container and the Cypress container. Because the application needs to be running so that it can run integration tests against it. And what happens when the Cypress container starts up is that it does an npm install and then it goes right into running the Cypress test to against the application container. And it was hanging on
that spot at Cypress where it was doing like the install. And so I was presented with two problems. One is either it's sitting there waiting for a runner, a GitHub Action runner to pick it up, or it's stalled at that Cypress NPM install part. And this happened across the board of all our applications, all our repositories. Like Friday, no problems. Monday morning, all the problems. And it was like that throughout the whole day. And I'm working with the team that manages the runners. And again, they're like, well, there's nothing wrong here. Everything seems fine. I'm like, well, these are the problems we're having. Well, nobody else is having these problems. Well, we're having these problems. And so like, they're like, well, is there a problem with the tasks? I'm like, well, I built the containers locally. I ran tests against the container. No problem. I grabbed the Cypress container. So I ran it just like it was running in the GitHub workflow. No problem. Passed without a problem. So then I'm like, okay. So this is after a couple of hours of trying to fiddle around with this. I'm like, well, let me try the standard GitHub container, which is an Ubuntu container. Not a problem. Ran perfectly in the Ubuntu container. Now, the reason why we have self-hosted runners is because it's cheaper than running the runners that are provided by GitHub. And also, if there's certain things that you need access to security-wise, like Vault or whatever, the runners have that built in. We don't need that because we're no longer using Vault. We're just all Google secrets and everything. So it's just GitHub secrets or Google secrets that we're using. So I told them like, and they're like, okay, well, we have new runners that we just provisioned, like completely different. Go ahead and try these runners. So I try those runners and I don't have a problem with them picking up jobs, right? But all of a sudden now, like it can't find the credentials for the application to run for the integration test, which is kind of like really annoying. So what is happening is that because it's a Google, service account and you run into that chicken and egg situation where, it needs to access Google secrets to get the secrets, but it needs a service account to do that. And you can't put the service account in Google secrets. So we have to put it in GitHub secrets and that's just a JSON file that in the past would be pulled into the workflow through the Google secrets and echoed out into a file, which was then mounted in the container using -V for volume mounting, that I would mount that file into a specific location on the container. And what was nice about -V is that if the directory or the path that you are mounting the source into in the container, the destination doesn't exist, it will automatically create that for you. Like, so I was mounting it under /gcp/creds.json. And it's been working for years now this way, not a problem. And now all of a sudden it can't find the credential file. So I'm like, this is a pain in the ass, right? And then, so that's where I ended Monday. And Tuesday comes along and we're still having problems. But I noticed that after 5 o'clock, somebody put in a PR and the test ran perfectly. And before 7 o'clock, the test ran perfectly. 7 o'clock rolls around and we start having all these 7 a.m., all these problems again, right? Just not working. And so when it hangs there on the Cypress install, and that means it's occupied a runner. So that runner is not available for other jobs. Like this thing's supposed to complete within like 12 minutes, right? And so it's being held for like hours. that means that runner's not available for anything else. And then eventually all the runners that are available get stalled at this process, so none of the other jobs get picked up. So I, Tuesday afternoon, I was back at it, plugging away at, trying to figure out why the credential files are not being loaded into the new, using on the new runners. And again, this is not a problem on the GitHub Ubuntu runners, and it's not a problem on the old runners when the old runners work. So what it came down to was, I don't know what they did on these new runners, but for some reason, unlike all the other runners I've used and all the other Docker implementations that I use, whatever they have running on this runner was treating, it appeared to treat the file that I was mounting as a directory, right? So instead of having a JSON file at /gcpcreds.json, it was a directory at gcpcreds.json. And so a guy I was working with was like, well, why don't you just use mount instead? And I was like, because I didn't want to have to create a directory, whatever, blah, blah. Anyway, so I did use the mount option instead of -v. And it essentially does the same thing as -v, but I think they're trying to deprecate -v, or there's talk of it. But their documentation still shows both. And again, the reason for not using mount originally was that it didn't auto-create the path if it didn't exist. So switching to mount, that seemed to work. It was not as elegant. We had to change where the file was being dropped to because we had to use an absolute path instead of a relative path with mount, where we got away with it and volume wasn't a problem. So got that working yesterday afternoon. I had to spend the whole day switching every single one of our jobs, workflows in every repository over to use the new runners, which, you know, wasn't difficult. It was just a lot of repetitive work. But that keyboard, ooh, baby, that made it so nice, Joel. It made it so nice.
Mm-hmm.
I loved it. But, it's always a pain in the ass when, like, something little like that changes and breaks your workflow. Like, you're like, and it's something that you don't have any control over. And it's like,
oh, I know that one.
Yeah, why the hell does this work here and here and here and here and here, but it doesn't work here any, like, on this thing that you created? Like, what did you do? It's just like, the question is, why were the runners working perfectly fine on Friday and now they don't work anymore? We didn't do anything. Well, you had to do something because I didn't do anything. And for some reason, between the hours of 5 p.m. and 7 a.m., they seem to be running just fine. But 7 a.m. comes along and nobody could do shit. Well, nobody else is having a problem. Well, okay. I don't know. I don't know what to say then. We're not seeing a problem. And sure enough, after I am in the, like, middle of getting all this stuff changed, I look over at the Slack channel that I had reported this in, and there's somebody else asking the question, why is it taking so long for runners to pick up our jobs? Like, this is, like, it doesn't seem like they're being picked up. Like, yeah, kiss my ass.
Somebody else had it too.
Nobody else had a problem.
That's like, we had a client, they put in a ticket Monday where, we have, different logins. We have for every one of our clients, they have a database. It's called the LPR. Now, for our SQL clients, that's just the SQL database, right? But for
Unit,
it's
LPR, the daemon for online printer,
yeah,
or something like that.
LPR,
I remember that.
True. But LPR in this case is local product repository, which is essentially a code repository for both our company's code as well as their custom, any custom code the institution might use, right?
What kind of repository is it?
Well, it's like I said, on SQL, for our SQL clients, it's a SQL database. For our Linux clients, it's a Unidata database. Okay.
Wait, is it a repository or a database?
It's both.
Huh?
It's both. It's just where they keep the code. Okay. Software updates and stuff like that. Okay.
Wait, I'm curious. Like, how does that work? Is, cause I'm used to SVN and Bazaar and Git.
Yeah,
and CVS, but
it's all proprietary stuff. So I really can't get into too much detail. Okay. But suffice it to say, LPR logins work just like in a secure shell login, right? So their LPR logins aren't working. All right. So, and basically all it is you log into our, the same UI that like the Office folks will use, right?
Right.
They can go in there and package up their code for software updates from a non-prod environment to move to the production environment, so on and so forth. Okay. So, and basically you're prompted for that password once you get certain screens in our application. Okay. But it works exactly like a secure shell login. Okay. So they put that in there. Then me and, a coworker, we go to try and secure shell into one of their servers and our logins aren't working. We're like, what the hell happened? All right. And all they had was, they had some software updates, on a Sunday, I think it was, right? Well, our team, so what, since these use a Active Directory credentials, right, with a specific domain, they for some reason, they had to unjoin the Linux host from the domain and rejoin it back to the domain before logins started to work for us. And for our support teams, unfortunately, that's the only way we can suit SU to root is via our own logins that use the AD credentials. So, not exactly sure what happened. Our team will have to answer what happened, but that happened. And it's just like when somebody changed something, it's like, you know, and we get this problem every once in a while where all of a sudden, like, when the engineering teams run something and then all of a sudden shit breaks. It's like, what the hell, man? So, I guess that happens everywhere though, so. But.
That's annoying.
It is. And the other things too is like, we'll have cases. Our team lives and breathes in ServiceNow, whether we want to or not. That's how we do keep track of our work, right? Well, when we need one of the other teams to do something, we'll open up a case task. Well, the other teams, they don't care about RSLA, so they take forever to get to us. Like, I still got one that's trying to line up a meeting. I finally got some times from the client trying to line up a meeting with their network resources and our network resources so that we can fix one pipe and their VPN was down. So I don't have anything to do with fixing the VPN pipe, but I'm going to be a part of that because I want to make sure that's taken care of, because my case happened because the listener became – basically, our listener will – if you just all of a sudden yank everybody's connection from the network – the listener's still there, still running, all right? You can do some things with it, but we'll stop responding to probably everything else, okay? Which means you can't log into the application. So, and that happens whenever you have an intermittent issue with network connectivity. So one thing I noticed was I went into their dashboards and saw that, hey, they only have one of the two pipes open. So the guy says, well, that's okay. The other pipe will come up when the other one goes down. I said, what happens in the interim between when that pipe goes down and the other one's coming back up? I said, shouldn't both be up? And he's like, oh yeah, I guess you're right. Let's work with the client and try and get that up. And I'm like, yeah, you think? And I'm like, it's like, I don't know. One team just has no sense of urgency when stuff breaks. It's like, that's not fun to talk about.
Stinks though, doesn't it?
Yep. I did finally watch the whole trailer for the Fantastic Four movie, and it looks pretty good to me.
Well, it does.
Season 3 of Wheel of Time looks good. March
13th.
What?
Season 3 of Wheel of Time.
Frill of Time?
Wheel of Time, oh, Robert Jordan.
Oh. What's that?
It's on Prime. You've not watched it?
No.
It's good.
I don't have Prime anymore.
Well, you know what ends tomorrow, though, right?
No, what ends tomorrow?
Cobra Kai.
Oh. For good?
The last six, 5 or 6 episodes come out tomorrow.
Yeah, but they're also doing a movie.
That's what I've heard, yeah. Some other movie's coming out soon, too. Oh, stupid Captain America movie.
I wouldn't say it's stupid. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, we'll see how it goes.
Serpent Society, baby.
I want to see that, I forget the guy's name. It's Paul Rudd and, this guy that does I Think You Should Leave, sketch comedy on Netflix. Robinson. It's an A24 horror comedy called Friendship. That looks pretty funny to me.
I love Paul Rudd, man. When's that coming out?
I don't know, but look, watch the trailer. It looks very good.
You talk about watching trailers, and that you got to be careful when you're like. One thing I saw it, and I briefly thought, is that going to be a real thing? But I saw a fake trailer for Iron Man 4.
Oh yeah, it's fake trailer everywhere. Yeah,
and there I know, and it's not just that. I mean, I've seen them everywhere.
And it's not just fake trailers.
Not even done well.
Yeah, there's fake car release announcements, like the 2025 Subaru Brat or the 2026 VW Beetle. You know, these cars don't exist.
Yeah.
You know, if the trailer's not put out by Marvel or DC,
right. Yeah. Yep.
Entertainment Weekly.
If it's by Dark's trailer, you know, yeah. Don't click on it.
Right.
It's like Screen Gems or whatever. I forget. It's like, cause I've fallen for it. I'm like, oh, I didn't realize that trailer came out. And I'm watching them like, I feel like I've seen these clips from somewhere.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah. It used to be that they just like would cut up the old movies and make trailers from
now,
them.
Now it's with AI bullshit.
Oh, yeah, it looks like shit.
Speaking of AI, I tried the DeepSeek R1 using
you did.
Llama.
And yeah.
Cautionary tale here. I've got one computer with an NVIDIA card in it. I didn't stop. Long story short, I didn't stop to see how much RAM it had. It had half a gig, which is not enough. But I ran it anyway, and it, not knowing, you know, until afterwards. And I ran 3 or 4 of the models, I think the 7, the 8, and the 14. It's painfully slow. And then I figured, okay, I don't have the hardware to do this, so I uninstalled it.
Wait, and, you only had how much memory did you have on that thing?
500?
500 gigs of RAM?
Yeah.
You have 500 gigs of RAM.
No, that's not right. That's not right. It's
I'd say 500 gigs of storage, like
it's a NVIDIA P2000. It's not a gaming card. It's
oh, cause when I tried to run it, it told me I needed at least 10 gigs of RAM.
Oh, it let me. Now I had, you know, the computer I ran it on has got 48 gigs of RAM. I had plenty of RAM, but the Docker Compose file I ran, I can tell it how much of my GPU to use.
Right.
And I think it was painfully slow. And I don't think this has I gave it, you know, a good 2 or 3 hours playing with it and it wasn't working. So I uninstalled it, and then that was day before yesterday. Last night, I, for whatever reason, decided to reboot this server, and the video no longer works. I don't know if it fried my NVIDIA card or not, but I cannot get a monitor to work on this computer anymore. So it's a headless server again. It's not a big deal. I can't play Steam.
Wait, it burned out your NVIDIA card?
Maybe. I don't know.
Oh.
Were you putting in your monitor refresh rates wrong, Dave, when you were configuring X?
No.
Is that what it made you do?
Yeah, the monitor blew up. I left that part out.
Lama ran X config for, what was it, XF86 free config? Yeah. Or yeah, it chose
wrong refresh rates.
Yeah.
This server is slowly dying anyway. The front USBs don't work. It's got VGA out on the front and the back, and I don't think either one of them work. And so I've got an NVIDIA card in there, and it doesn't work anymore. But everything else works.
Yeah, it reminds me. I need to get a new battery for this laptop because it's rather old. It's like the second laptop. I've been away from the college for 10 years now, and this is the second laptop I got after I left the college, the one I'm using right now. I think since I left the college, I got 1, 2, 3, 4 different computers since then. I still have all of them, too. I just don't do anything. What I need to do is I need to get up rip out the hard drives out of some of the machines, and because I have one or two from Luke and Misty too, and I need to take them over to E-Waste because I'm just not going to use them. It's like, and it's not like they're so old like I would want to keep them. Like I have an old PowerBook G4 that I do want to keep hold of, although, I have a OS X on it right now. Nothing I could do much with it because you can't get a modern browser to run on it. Even when you try Linux, it's hard to get a modern browser to work on it.
Oh, and I bought a RTL SDR, Joel.
Nice.
I'm not a ham radio operator. I have a.
You don't need to have. Yeah.
Not just to listen, you know. I've got a ball thing that my son-in-law gave me, and I'm gonna get one. My license one day. I've just not had time. But
here you go.
But the sole reason I got it, other than it being cheap, was I wanted to stream weather radio over IceCast.
Okay.
I got that up and running in no time. It sounds great.
Yep. Yep. I use my, I have like two or three of them. Like I got, one with, that has a plastic case and one that has a metal case, which is a little bit newer and I think a little bit better. I've tried listening to both, you know, just broadcast FM, some of the ham radio stuff, the VHF stuff it works well with. That's what Noah uses. One thing I'm wondering too is if anybody's figured out a way, with the Noah on there to have it trigger the same alerts, because same is specific area messaging, and that's sent out on the Noah frequency, and that's what, like, if you got one of them weather radios that will only go off like when there's a thunderstorm warning or tornado warning, when you program in the specific code. Is the only time it will go off. So, like, for example, if it's a neighboring county that also is on the same NOAA frequency, your radio won't go off until it's your county when you program in there. All right. I wonder if anybody's done that in any of the RTL software. That'd be interesting. I have to look into that.
Yeah,
I'm sure probably somebody did.
Yeah.
But the other thing I use one for is ADS-B. So ADS-B, if you're unfamiliar with that, is basically – every aircraft will, at least the civilian ones that I know of, will transmit a their GPS coordinates that way. So you can actually fire it up. Like, have you ever seen a FlightAware?
Yeah.
Which is an app. That's how it works. That's how FlightAware works, is it gets out those transponder signals from the jets.
Yeah.
And you can see what jets are flying over you and stuff like, and also general aviation as well.
Yeah, so. The only other thing I'm tempted to do is build an antenna and get the weather satellite images.
Yeah, I want to do that too.
Yeah.
Yep. Yep, you can do that too. Or I'm trying to remember, there was something that was like that, but also did an X-Rad on it too.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'm trying to remember the name of it. I was messing with it for a little while, and there's a lot of people that will rebroadcast that. So, that what will happen is the satellite, the GO satellite, will transmit signal, and then like a ham operator or someone will take that and retransmit it down here.
Okay.
On a terrestrial signal. I'm trying to remember the name of that.
Saves you to work.
Yeah, basically. Yeah. Well, and you don't have to have a specific kind of, you don't have to have an antenna that can pick up the satellite antenna. Like, that's the other thing I've been always kind of wanting to do. I just haven't gotten the money together to get the antenna. But you can work satellites with a handheld amateur radio. But you have to buy an antenna. There's a company by the name of Aero Antennas that makes these things, and they make them so that you can break them down, so that, like, for example, when you're driving to where you want to try and do the comms, you can have it broke down in the car, so that way, because it's, when you put it together, it's a fairly large antenna.
Yeah.
And the way it works is one way is the 2 meter side, the other direction is the 70 centimeter side, and it's designed to so that you can basically point it directly at the satellite. If you just have to have your software running on, you can run it on the phone to help point the antenna.
Yeah.
All right. And then you can talk via radio. You can also send images that way too. But I've always wanted to get into it, never did yet. There was a big push for it when AMSAT launched their last satellite that I remember. I know they've had one since, one called Phase 3D, which was the biggest satellite they have, which I think it's AO40, if I remember right.
You looking it up?
Yeah, I'm looking it up.
Checking it twice.
Yeah, AO40.
Gonna find AMSAT, out if Dave's ass is nutty or nice.
AMSAT Oscar 40. That was the name of that. And it was launched, I think it was launched out of Brazil by Ariane Rocket, I believe it was. It's got 5 receivers, 7 transmitters. And it was launched in 2000. I think it's, on Ariane 5G. I'm not sure if it's still orbiting or not. Cause they only last, satellites are, especially these kind of satellites are only gonna last so long. So, never got around to doing it yet. I should sometime cause it's a easier way to do it. And you can talk to the world that way too, cause any place that can see that, get line of sight to the satellite, you can talk to. So, since that can go around the curvature of the Earth, you can talk to their side of the planet with it. So, it's pretty cool. But
also got back on the trail, walking / jogging. I bought a pair of Shox Open Run.
The Open Run 2s?
No, this is the Open Runs.
Okay.
I don't know which, I don't think they're Open Run 2s. Sam's had them on sale for $76.
And that, I think they may be Open Run 2. I have to look at Sam's website.
I'll put a link in Mumble what I got. They work real good.
Okay. Yeah, I know Sam's Club had the ones that just go around the ears. They'll have the bar going around the back of your head. I like the one with the bar around the back of your head. I think they have better battery life myself.
Yeah, that's what these have, and I like that too.
Yep. Yeah, and the only thing with this one, I think this is one that has a proprietary connector in the headphone.
Yeah.
Yeah, mine has my open com 2 has a magnetic one, but my open run 2 has a USB-C.
Okay.
And mine were, let's see. These are probably, let me see. What did they list these on the website for? These are 109.
Yeah, that's what I got, is the 109s.
Okay, let me see.
They're evidently IP67 waterproof.
I like mine very much. At lunch. One thing I've been kind of starting to do is about 11 o'clock, I'll run downstairs and grab one of my factor meals, bring it up here with a fork, and I have a microwave in my office, so I'll make it up here. And while it's heating up, I'll go over to my work computer and keep monitoring the queue, you know, and watching Slack and stuff. And then, I'll eat it while I'm doing that. And then when my real lunchtime goes, I'll say, hey, going to lunch, put my, probe my status in Slack. And then I go do stuff, either like go get a shower and walk, or walk and get a shower, or whatever. You know, 'cause sometimes in the morning I get back late and I don't have time to get a shower before I have to get to my meeting. And since I'm working at home, I don't have to smell pretty.
My first experience with the bone conduction and music. I was disappointed is the wrong word for music, but audiobooks and voice, the sound is great.
Yep. Does that use the Shox app too?
Not that I know of.
You might want to look into that, because there's one thing, like, I don't know if those ones support it, but I know mine does. And you can, like, mine actually has the full bone conducting mode. Then it has one that uses the, because there's the audio, I'll say it, a speaker, but, one thing I found is it doesn't really matter whether I'm in the bone connect mode or the regular mode. My wife still can't hear them.
Yeah.
So that's good. But the bone conducting mode, you can definitely feel it vibrate against your head.
Yeah, which, I'm not a fan of that.
You get used to it after a while though. My open run 2s don't really vibrate unless I put it in the pure bone conduct mode.
Yeah. Oh, what I like about them is where I walk is a bike trail.
And right, you can hear.
There's guys on bikes, and you'll get run over if you don't hear them. So.
That's right. Yeah, that's why I got mine, because I want to, when if I'm out in the trail, like, right, great example is one of the things I might do as I'm training is I might go down to visit Dad and go hike in the Smoky Mountains once it's warmer. What I found out during Christmas is the Smoky Mountains ain't so great when you're hiking out in the middle in December. You know, a lot of trails are closed and stuff during December too, to avoid, like, some of them run near where bear dens are, and you don't really want to fuck with a bear. Either way though, you want to have, like, when you're out, especially on the Smoky Mountains, a lot of those are true wilderness trails, and you don't want to be completely closed off when you're on that trail, because you might get surprised by a bear, or I don't know if they got mountain lions down there or not. They might.
Hey, it's bobcats, yeah.
Yeah. But, so I need to start doing more trails. Like, as it gets warmer, I'm going to definitely do more hiking than treadmill. But today I was crazy. I went on my treadmill run this morning, got back, and then at lunchtime I went and walked, and I walked until all my steps were completed. My daily goal is 12,000. All right. So then after work, I ate my dinner, and then, was watching something, and I said, you know what? I feel like I'm going to go for a walk again. So I went out for a walk again, and I'm over 15,000 today. So, but at any rate, and I don't know what the heck's going on, but Joe goes to a gym.
No, I don't.
You don't? Oh, you just work out at home?
It's garage.
Okay.
I have my garage. Which is why I haven't worked out a whole lot this week, because it's freaking freezing.
Cold, yeah. I don't know what the heck's going on my Planet Fitness, but it's February, and usually by February, all the New Year's resolution people are gone. Not this year. I'm like, it's crazy. Like, I went last night, and I had to wait for a machine a few times. And one of the things I wanted to try was the assisted pull-up machine. But there's always people on it. I said, you know what? I got to get out of here. So I went and did my treadmill and got out of there. But, and I don't typically, like, I haven't been typically doing any strength training in the morning. I usually do that in the evening when I have a little bit more time. And I'm not as sensitive to when I get back to the house, you know. Although I do got to finish it before, 10 o'clock, I think it is. Yeah. During the week, that's when they close. Now, Fridays kind of suck, Wednesdays too, because I usually don't have time in the evening to go over there, on Wednesdays or Thursdays or Fridays. I've definitely been trying to walk more at lunch and stuff, and it's not so bad. I mean, yeah, it's cold, but, you know, as long as I have gloves and a hat on, I'm okay, you know. And it's not snowing or raining. But, yeah, I'm glad I didn't sign up for the Arnold 5K pump and run. That's one race I was thinking about doing this year. But I'm nowhere near ready for the pump part of the pump and run. It's bench pressing 60% of your body weight. And every rep you get, you get like 5 seconds off. I think went up to 30 reps, I think it is. Yeah. So you get 5 seconds off your race time. So I'm not ready for the pump part, and I don't really want to run a 5K only necessarily, but I would. But I might just go down, because that's coming up. That's at the Arnold Sports Festival here in Columbus. Yes, that Arnold Schwarzenegger. I might just go ahead and buy a Saturday Expo ticket, and then I can go see I can go to the Expo, and I can go into they have something called the Angel Fashion Show. I assume that's for the fitness model competition. Foosball, which I'm like, okay, there's a foosball tournament there? Okay. The IFBB Pro League, pre-judging, men's physique and bikini on Saturday, arm lifting, mass wrestling, shirt curl, USA powerlifting, weightlifting, XPC powerlifting, amateur strongman, world's strongest firefighter finals, CrossFit Endeavor, youth dance sport, and grappling. And that, there's all the events you can go see on the Saturday of the expo, as well as just walking the expo, which the expo will have things like, companies like, Rise and, Redefine and all the different, supplement companies there will be down there with protein powders and crap like that, you know, mostly samples. But there's always vendors that you can buy stuff off of down there too. So I might do that just for the heck of it. But we'll see. I guess I could still sign up just for the 5K if I wanted to, but it's not really the right, I don't really like running when it's cold. This, as cold as it's been out, I don't like to run. The hot chocolate was cold enough when I was there, and it was in the 40s when we ran that. Much below that, I'm very uncomfortable. So in pre-show, we were talking about, I was able to pick up some of the Blackberry Dr. Pepper Zero. And I think it's a good flavor. I like it. Joe, you said you had some too, right?
I'm drinking some right now.
Yeah, are it's you good really? Stuff.
Yes, I am.
Is it the Dr. Pepper Zero?
It is indeed the Dr. Pepper Zero.
I haven't seen it yet.
You haven't seen the Zero BlackBerry one yet?
I haven't seen any BlackBerry one yet.
Really?
Huh. When did it come out?
A couple weeks ago, I think, right?
Really?
Coke's supposed to have an orange cream one.
Yeah, I heard that. I haven't seen that one either.
Yeah, I have a friend that didn't like the orange cream one. I probably like it because I like orange and Coke and orange and Pepsi. Like
Dave
Pepsi
doesn't like any of that,
too.
Because it's got Dave caffeine.
Dave likes Mountain Dew.
I don't even drink that anymore.
Speaking of Mountain Dew, did you see the Mountain Dew Baja Blast commercial with Seal in it?
I heard about it.
Seal as a seal? Oh, my God, is that creepy. It is freaking weird. It was kind of funny, though. Because I guess you can buy a Baja Blast in the store now instead of just a Taco Bell.
Yeah, don't they have it at...
I think they have it in Zero, too, if I remember right.
Yeah, you know what? Baja Blast, I've seen it in Food Lion down here, if I'm not mistaken. I thought for a little while it was only at Walmart or something. Wasn't that it? Or am I thinking of a different Mountain Dew flavor that was only at Walmart?
Yeah.
Dave doesn't know, right?
Nah.
Dave doesn't care.
Of course, they got hard Mountain Dew now, too.
No, thank you. Probably tastes like cough syrup.
Dan's just like, just give me a freaking beer.
I remember trying the, not your father's cough syrup. That stuff was disgusting.
Oh, that's what it tasted like?
Yeah, I wasn't a fan of that. I've tried a few, when they first came out, I tried a few of the hard sodas, like the not your father's root beer, and then there was also, like an orange one that they did, and it was really, I didn't like any of them. No, thank you. Right, Dave?
That's right.
Yeah, they got Baja Blast and Zero now, too. I never cared for Baja Blast.
I like it. Like, I can't drink a lot of it, but...
Actually, one thing I do need to check out is, especially our cat is now chipped. But do you see the story about one of the companies that does the chipping is now out of business?
No.
Yeah, I'm trying to find it.
What happened?
Well. They went out, Save This Life Pet Microchip Company closed. So what that means is if your pet's chip was registered through them, then you need to register it with another company. Because then they won't be able to find your pet if your pet gets lost. Which can and does happen, of course. And I do... Fully recommend if you have a dog, cat, whatever, if you love your pet, get them chipped. Because animals can get out. Speaking of that, has your dog ever like jumped, like if you ever had like your screen door open, has he ever jumped through the screen door, like and busted the screen out?
I've had larger dogs do that.
Right.
My dog doesn't need to bust through the screen door. He could just push the door open. but we had a Great Dane do that once. Just went right, it wasn't a screen door, it was a glass door. And he just decided he was going right through the glass door. Made a huge mess. Why, is your dog doing that?
I don't have a dog anymore.
Oh, that's right. I
haven't got a new one yet.
Now, my neighbor's dog who comes over and I watch during the day when he's at work, has decided that she doesn't want to wait to come in and will try to hop the gate that I put up and keeps failing and landing on the gate and, like, ripping the screws out and stuff. And it's really, that's annoying.
Now, I've often thought about getting another dog, but then winter happens, and then I lose that thought.
You don't like winter?
I don't like having to walk them in the winter.
Yeah. Wait, you go out walking all the time.
I know. But yeah, but walking with a dog, it's pulling on a leash is a pain in the ass. Because I have had, like, when I was at my old house, when we still had Sassy, I'm sitting there walking her, and we had just had an ice storm. She yanks on the leash, and I go down like a bag of bricks. I'm like,
a bag of bricks?
Bricks, oh. Asshole.
Oh, I'm sorry, I thought you got Dave hungry there for a minute. That comes a bologna sandwich.
Yeah.
With the pimento cheese built in.
Joel knows all about going down.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Sure, right. Now, my cat, if we happen to leave the deadbolt unlocked, which that's in our new house, that's the only lock we have. The doorknob doesn't lock itself. But if we leave that deadbolt unlocked, he will open the door. Because we got the new school, the lever doorknobs instead of the round doorknobs. We got the lever one, so he'll jump up and he'll press that doorknob down and he'll walk right outside. I've forgot that and come home and the door's open and I go looking for him. He's hiding under a car somewhere, usually. Now tonight, we have one of them auto feeders that's set to, like, drop food at, like, 3 times a day for our cat. Well, the hopper was empty, and it didn't put any food in his bowl at his evening dinner time. So he's, like, fussing. I'm sitting on the couch. All of a sudden, I hear this crash, and he knocked the whole fucking thing over. Luckily, there's nothing in it, so, you know, there was no mess to clean up. But it's like, all right, I get it. You're hungry. I'll go fill it. Little ingrate. Cats think if you got that little hole in the food bowl, if there's a little hole in their food, that the bowl's empty.
Yeah.
Every cat I've ever had does that. Every cat. It's empty. I'm gonna waste away to nothing. Feed me. If I let my current cat eat as much as he wanted, he'd weigh 50 pounds.
Yeah, cats do that.
Yeah, he will eat until he's stuffed silly. He'll not only stuff silly, but vomit, and then he'll go and eat more.
Yeah, cats do that.
Yep, so I gotta feed him regular schedule. Only get so much a day. That keeps him to be relatively svelte. He's a big cat anyway. But at least he's not really fat. But he's a good cat, though. He's my boy. He's my buddy. If Misty and Luke go out door dashing, he usually saunters upstairs and lays down on the carpet behind me, watching me work. The only cat I've ever had that did that. Sassy wouldn't even come in my office when I was working at home. Unless I brought her in there on purpose, which I have done. I miss her. I can't believe she'll be gone in 4 years this coming July. Yeah, I didn't even watch Super Bowl this year.
Yeah, neither did I.
Go sports. I heard there was
some some kerfuffle about the halftime show.
Yeah, nobody knew who he was. Well, technically, his song was something to do about a beef he has with Drake.
Yeah.
Which I'm like, okay.
Do you even know who Drake is?
He don't even know who Kendrick Lamar is.
No, I definitely don't know who Kendrick Lamar is.
That was the guy that was singing.
Yeah.
And I don't think most of America did either.
No, they do.
They do. Yeah, he's won Grammys.
He's huge.
But he was accusing Drake of being a pedophile, more or less.
Yep. So our beloved Happy Greek is closing. I'm sad about that. That place is excellent.
You just have to make the Greek food at home yourself. Does Factor 5 give you Greek food?
Some of the stuff is Greek-ish. Like there's one with, there's a veggie meal that had feta in it. So, but actually there's a local place in Grove City is pretty good. I usually get like the Greek salad with a gyro meat with it and extra banana peppers. I love banana peppers on my salad.
You know, I made fasolakia today, Joel. It took me like a half hour to throw it all together.
Fasolakia.
It's Greek green beans in a tomato sauce with a
That does sound good.
Sounds great.
Carrots. I usually put carrots, potatoes. It's got cumin. I'll put a little coriander, some cinnamon stick in there, oregano. I had it for dinner with roasted chicken legs, barbecue like style chicken legs with a white barbecue sauce that just worked so perfectly together, Dave. With the spices on the chicken legs and the it was so good. I couldn't stop eating it. I said, put that in my mouth, Dave. Put it in my mouth. Make a suppository after it so I could have the flavor going in both ends. Spit roast me with that flavor, baby. Like a rotisserie chicken. Spin it.
Sunday I made a beef stroganoff in the crock pot.
There you go.
What my wife made tonight,
she called shrimp scampi, but I don't know if it was. It was spaghetti noodles with white sauce and shrimp. It was good.
Okay.
I ate a lot of it.
Can't go wrong with shrimp, right?
No.
Did you get it out of the Clemson River, the shrimp?
I don't know where she got it.
Oh, I love shrimp.
Well, I had to figure out where they went to, but my favorite Cajun food place, they ended up having to close down.
Everything's closing down over there, apparently.
Yeah.
What's left?
Well, this one was probably because Casto, who owned their building, wanted to raise their rent. They're not out of business. I think they're going to a food truck right now. But eventually they actually have a second area, but it's mostly for their beignets. So they way down yonder beignets and coffee. So they make Louisiana style coffee. So, which when I go, I am gonna go to New Orleans while I'm down in Baton Rouge. It's about an hour or so out of Baton Rouge, so we're gonna make time to go over there. But we're gonna go walk Bourbon Street and. I'm sure that our friends will drink. I won't, though. What the hell was that?
That was my phone. Sorry.
He's playing a video game.
Yeah. Yeah, so my intention when I go to New Orleans is to go visit Café du Monde. Get me some beignets there. That'll be a cheat day. Actually, the whole trip will be a cheat day.
Yeah, just forget to count them that day.
Yeah. We have, this will be my first experience staying in a Well, I guess it's not that much different than an Airbnb, but we got the place we're staying at in Baton Rouge on Vrbo, and it's a house, a whole house with a swimming pool. So,
you've never done Airbnb or Vrbo?
Not personally, no. I've stayed in them. Like when we went down for my buddy got a cabin via Airbnb near Burr Oak State Park last August when I did that first event, and that was an Airbnb.
That's when it had no indoor plumbing, right?
Correct.
Yeah, most of them work that way.
No, I was saying that's true. That's true too. It's too true. Yeah. So you know, well, the thing is.
That's all we stay at when we go on vacation, seems like.
I'd rather do that, but a lot of those don't necessarily have a swimming pool.
Yeah.
We did find this one, and Luke wants a swimming pool wherever we go. So that's like when we go down to March 8th, we're going down for the Hoinky Classic. It's a bowling tournament in Cincinnati, so I'll get to go over to Jungle Jim's International Food Market while I'm down there. So I'll load up. I'll get me some cheese curds and some different hot sauces. I might see what's over in the Asian food section, see if I can't get some of that kind of stuff to take home. Like I would like to get some good maybe good pad thai sauce or something if there's something pre-made already or just the ingredients to make my own. I love pad thai. I just don't get it very often. It's one of those things I have to make and then take the leftovers and probably freeze it because I'm probably the only one that would eat it. Same thing as if I made pho at home. Pho's easy enough to get around here, though, at a restaurant, though. See, the reason why my wife wouldn't like pho is because there's usually jalapenos in it, and she wouldn't like that at all. At least most of the places around here have that. Same thing with a chimichurri sauce she wouldn't like. She's not very adventurous when it comes to food. Lately, she's been on a kick. We're eating Chef Boyardee ravioli out of a can.
That's good.
It's not good.
Who's doing it?
My wife.
Whoa.
Make a sandwich out of that. That's good.
Yuck. Yuck. That's the worst pasta
that's
ever.
That's a poor man's meatball soup.
I guess. I keep telling her, I say, you want ravioli? Let me go buy some good ravioli and make it for you.
I used to eat that a lot when I was in college, but I had some maybe,
who didn't, man?
Maybe 6 or 8 years ago, and it's not what I remember it being.
I know. Yeah.
I'll eat it occasionally, and then I'm like, it's just not the same. I'm not 5 years old anymore.
I know. Well, you know what I saw at the store the other day, though, Dan?
I have fond memories of it, but it's not me anymore.
Well, you know SpaghettiOs, right? They have a SpaghettiOs with Frank's Red Hot in it. SpaghettiOs with Frank's Red Hot. I'm like, no. I like Frank's Red Hot. I do not like SpaghettiOs whatsoever. I didn't even like those when I was a kid.
SpaghettiO makes for a memorable child's vomit.
It looks the same going out, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Dave was like, you know what? I'm not going to let that go to waste.
Shitty pasta.
A dollar's a dollar, baby.
I seen the kid vomit alphabet soup one time. I looked for my name. I looked for my name in it, but I didn't see it.
Yeah, SpaghettiOs with Frank's Red Hot. I'm like, ugh, no thank you. Now, I will eat like Mrs. T's pierogies. That shit's good.
Yeah, I like
pierogies.
I love pierogies. Making pierogies is kind of a pain in the ass, but
Yeah, well, it depends. Well, the thing is, you can make them multiple ways too. Like, I've thrown them in, just in the fry pan, fried them that way. I've steamed them or boiled them. Trying to think what other ways I've done them.
Wait, I'm saying making them by hand.
Oh.
It's kind of a pain in the butt. Yeah.
Yeah, I can get that. Yeah. I buy the pre-made ones. That's no way I'm doing it by hand. If I want.
Oh, but they taste so good when you do them by hand.
I know.
Oh my God.
I know.
They're so good. But I love the,
there
I
is
love pierogies.
A,
Mrs. T's.
There is a restaurant in German Village called Pierogi Mountain where you can order a, have them, you can, they'll even deliver them to you, pierogies.
Is it like poutine with, but pierogi style?
No.
No, I'm just curious. I mean, like, obviously they just do more than send you some pierogies, right?
Yeah,
I
mean, let's see. I'm trying to find something on their menu. Let's see. Oh, wait. I don't want... Can I just look at the menu? Do I have to look at the... At it via DoorDash? I don't want to do that. Let me look at it in DoorDash. Oh, wait. Hold on. There's menu. Menu link.
Can you just go to their website?
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to do.
Oh, yeah. Their website kind of sucks.
It does.
Oh, wait. There's their menu.
So,
oh, you
there
can
we
get
go.
A menu on a PDF.
Yeah, you can. They got potato and cheddar, which that's just pretty standard one. Potato, sauerkraut, mushroom. Ooh, I want to try that. That sounds good. Shiitake mushrooms.
Wait a second. They got three pierogies, and then they got roast beef and potato. Oh, wait, those are pierogies, right? Apple, fennel, and
yeah,
okay.
Yeah, roast beef in the pierogi. Yeah. Potato,
okay.
And winter herbs. Ooh, tomatillo chili verde. That sounds good. Apple, fennel, and leek in a pierogi.
Haluski. Mushroom stroganoff.
Only 150 all day Tuesday. I guess that's per pierogi. Pierogi ruski is onions, farmer's cheese, and black pepper. That sounds good.
You know what disappoints me? Why do they not have a dessert pierogi?
You know, that's actually would be a good idea. They got Hungarian poutine.
Yeah, but...
And cauliflower bites. If I'm going to order food from Pierogi Mountain, I ain't getting no cauliflower bites. I'd rather have the potato laki. Or sauerkraut balls.
Wait, what?
He looks like they're Hungarian style. Because they got like chicken paprikash and stuff like that on them as mains. Actually, they got pumpkin whoopie pies.
Oh, okay, so
chocolate
cut
snickerdoodle cookies.
Poutine. Wait.
Hungarian what, poutine.
What does V stand for on their menu?
Vegan.
How is their gravy vegan?
That's a good question.
Because I'm like, I guess the choice of gravy is what's below. It's the chicken paprikash
or mushroom
stroganoff.
It's or cider. Mushroom.
Well, mushroom. Maybe it's a mushroom stroganoff, that is.
Is that what the V means? Oh, no. It means items can be prepared vegan. Just ask.
If the mushroom stroganoff is prepared vegan, then I guess there you go. Hungarian.
Yeah, there you go. But,
their menu looks great, though. I mean, I gotta say.
It does, don't it, man? I'm gonna have to go. I'm gonna have to order someday. Or go up there. One of the two.
We gotta wrap this up. I gotta get to bed.
Yeah,
gotta work out.
Ooh, wow. I'm done working out today.
Well, I mean, I gotta work out 5 a.m. tomorrow morning.
Yeah, I do too.
I'm gonna play us out. Here we go.
Yep.
I am short.
Oh my god, it's Hacker
Public Radio. Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy, that's a gun!
It's over.
Well, you were making egg foo young in the kitchen. I was in the dining room having sushi.
I might go grab me some pretzels downstairs. I got... Dots pretzels, they brought out a barbecue flavored version of them. And they're pretty good. Although I don't think they're as good as the regular ones or Parmesan. They have Parmesan garlic ones too now.
Dipping dots.
Dipping dots?
Yeah. You know, dipping dots. The ice cream.
That's. You know, that's what I'm trying to figure out with that. Redefine brought out a protein donut that's Dippin' Dot flavor. I'm like, what the hell is the flavor is that?
It's diabetes.
They are good, though.
Yeah, we can hear you. Shut up.
Okay, that's all that matters.
Yeah, we heard you, dude.
Oh, man.
After the show, I'll finish up watching the War Games sequel, War Games the Dead Code.
I saw a terrible accident today. I saw a terrible accident today, Dave.
Oh?
Yeah, there was some guy hanging out of his car. And I said, what happened to you guys? It's a Dave Yates half and half. Suppositories half in and half.
Oh,
no, but I did see, I was going to, pick up my daughter because she was hanging out. I was going to pick up Lily because she was hanging out with Paige on a highway and there was an accident. It must have just happened. And this was on Sunday and the car. Like, I don't know where the back half of the car went because I couldn't see
Dang.
It. It was just gone. And yeah, I don't know where it went. It was just the front half of the car was in the road and the back half.
Oh, that sucks.
Woohoo! I don't know. That's a half and half too, Dave, right?
Yeah. IR official, I've got a campaign on World Gospel Mission for my mission trip to McAllen, Texas. The link's in the Mumble.
Cool beans.
Yeah, it'll be interesting.
Like, what are you going to do?
That is a very good question, and I'm not sure of everything yet. It'll be work probably primarily on the U.S. side of the border because it's a border town. So there's a church that we support down there through the mission. And so I assume that we're going to be helping people help the immigrants that are coming across the border and stuff like that. So.
Well, that's nice.
Yes.
Good for you, man. That is. When are you going?
It's in the link, but August 9th through the 16th is when I'll be down there. Oh. And unfortunately, it's nowhere near our friend Alan, so I can't go over and visit him. But we might go to South Padre Island while we're there. It just depends. You know, it won't all be work things. You know, it'll be for some fun stuff too. I guess there's a guest house that we'll stay in, so
When I talked to 3:30.
Oh, you did?
After he stayed with Dave Yates. I said, what did Dave taste like? He said, depends.
Oh, Jesus.
Depends.
Well, we already know what Dave's, or what 3:30's feet smelled like back then. But now,
depends.
Yeah. Now I don't think he, I think he's a dapper dude, man. Every time I look at pictures and stuff of him, he's dressed up nice and all respectable, has a nice haircut.
Does Dave know what show this is?
1086.
Yeah. And I tried the Post Malone Oreo.
I saw those in the store. And walked
oh, dude,
by.
They are so good.
What do they taste like? Body odor?
No, yeah, really.
No, I hear, no, you know what? I'm sorry.
Cigarettes.
They're very good. They're very good.
Cigarette flavor.
No.
What are they flavored?
Well, one cookie is the chocolate one, and the other cookie is the vanilla one, and the filling is, I think he said salted caramel and shortbread. It's the first Oreo that's ever had a swirled center.
Oh.
So, they're really good.
You know, every time I see Post Malone, he looks like he crawled out of a dumpster.
I know.
Right? But I hear he's like the nicest guy in the world.
Yes,
man.
He's
like such a nice guy, and I feel terrible saying that. So.
You should watch, there's that show, it's one of the, it's a branch off from, for God's sakes, what is that?
Dave, what did you do?
I forget the, Jesus, man.
Dave, what did you do? Sorry.
Got my balls in my butthole, Jesus. It's, from that Mythical Morning show. It's a branch off. There's a food-oriented channel, and there's a deal they do with, your last meal, and Post Malone did one of those.
What was his last meal?
Let me see if I can find the video.
But does this mean the last meal you ate or your ideal last meal you will ever eat?
Your ideal last meal.
Dave says depends.
I was thinking chicken fingers and gravy.
Mythical Kitchen is the name of the channel. And Post Malone eats his last meal. It looks like Raisin Cane's.
Well, there you go, Dave. Raisin Cane's.
Yeah. Cookies and, yeah.
I'll tell you what. I know I'm in the minority here. I'm not a big fan of Raisin Cane's.
They're okay.
I've never had it.
The biggest
I like Raisin
problem,
Cane's.
They're good. The basis problem is that the chicken itself needs more seasoning.
I agree with you 100%. That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not. I mean, as it goes, I wish it had a little more seasoning,
right.
Or a lot more seasoning. But I mean, I think it's better than pretty much any of the other chicken fingers that are out there.
Right. The sauce is good.
Maybe not Popeyes, but I don't go to Popeyes for the chicken fingers.
Actually, I like Popeyes fish, like their shrimp and stuff that they have at Popeyes. That stuff's good.
Do they have that there, or is that you thinking about?
They
Daniels?
Do. No, you can get fish. You can get a shrimp at
Popeyes. Wait, is Popeyes a Louisiana kitchen, or is that Bojangles?
Yes, it's Popeyes.
Oh, okay, yeah. All right.
And it's not named. Believe it or not, it's not named after Popeye the Sailor Man. Although they did use him temporarily for. For marketing at one point. But, I mean, that's the best place to go to get a chicken sandwich on a Sunday when you can't go to Chick-fil-A. Their sandwich is pretty decent. What else? I had something else, too, and I can't remember what it was. Oh, Dr. Death. And Liquid Death. Liquid Death Dr. Death flavor.
Yeah, I've had it.
It's kind of, Yeah.
There's hardly anything to it.
It doesn't taste bad, but it doesn't taste exactly good. Like Dr. Pepper. No, it tastes good. It's just not exactly like Dr. Pepper. It's like a really bad imitation of Dr. Pepper. Really bad.
It's like if you let a Dr. Pepper go flat and then took a drop out of it and put it in seltzer water.
No, there better you go. Than that. Better than that.
Oh, two drops then.
Yeah. Yeah, see, they have shrimp and, do they have fish too?
Liquid death shrimp flavor?
Yeah, they have surf and turf, which is like, shrimp and chicken fingers at Popeyes. And then the popcorn, basically popcorn shrimp and chicken fingers. Or shrimp, just regular shrimp.
That's like the surf and turf you see on a kid's menu.
Basically, yeah.
Or in Clemson, right? A Clemson surf and turf is catfish and possum, right?
There's good food in Clemson.
Catfish and possum.
The other thing, yeah, right?
Squirrel tail.
I'm branching out on the Factor meals and trying some of the, there's an awful lot of chicken meals in Factor. So I had a cherry pork chop.
That sounds disgusting.
Oh, it was good. It was good.
Whose cherry was it though, Dave?
Bam, bam.
Was it a Bing cherry or cherry what kind of cherry was it?
I don't know. Whatever was in the sauce you poured on top.
Don't you have like a beautiful kitchen?
It's okay. It's just, I cook. It's just, you know, like during the day is when I get those for lunch. You know, although, not gonna lie, today I had Taco Bell.
What'd you have for lunch, Dave?
A palmetto cheese sandwich.
There you go.
That sounds delicious.
That was lunch. I had shrimp scampi for supper.
Did you have that
from Popeyes?
No, it's homemade.
Did you have it cold, or did you have it like grilled?
Oh, it's cold.
Okay. Do you ever try grilling it? Because it's fantastic.
No, somebody have to grill it for me. I'm too lazy for that. I'm a man of convenience.
Seriously, here's what my son, like when he was a lot younger, here's how he made grilled cheese sandwiches. He put two pieces of bread in the toaster, toasted it, and then slapped the cheese on it.
Put it in the microwave.
Put it in the microwave.
That's how I make them. There's nothing wrong with that.
I didn't say there's anything wrong with it. It's just not particularly the best.
Oh, they're great.
I mean, for me, now, when I make grilled cheese in my cast iron, I do it with mayonnaise on the outside. Dukes, of course.
I can see that. Yeah.
But you don't taste the mayonnaise when it's grilled.
Right. You can make cake out of Dick's mayonnaise.
What did you have for lunch again, Dave?
A palmetto cheese sandwich.
Yeah. Do you ever do palmetto
with
bologna?
Dick mayo?
Yeah, I've done that before.
Dick's mayo?
Not that.
That's not what he said. He said Dick mayo.
Yeah.
Oh, Dick mayo.
I didn't say that.
Now do you like your bologna thick cut and fried?
Yeah. Yep. But what I like, my favorite bologna sandwich is a bologna egg and cheese on a hamburger bun.
That's okay.
That's delicious.
The Waldo one up here is good.
So before I start the show, I do have a question for you, Dave. And this is honest. Like, when you go buy bologna, do you get it from the deli?
No, my wife's too cheap for that.
What do you?
He gets like, Oscar Mayer or the Bar S.
Where do you get your bologna from? I'm curious.
I get my bologna from Walmart.
Is it right. Come in just like one big hunk and then you cut it yourself?
No, it's sliced.
I've never seen like thick sliced bologna like that.
Yeah, you can get it.
I've had bologna sandwiches at like restaurants where it's like a half an inch thick.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever seen it sold in the store like that.
I don't know. It may not be a half inch thick in the stores.
Well, when you get Lebanon bologna, you can get the Seltzer's Grillers, which is essentially one big hunk of Lebanon bologna that you put in the fryer.
I've never seen a Seltzer's Griller.
I've gotten it, you know, from the deli before, but
you could order that.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Like, I don't recall ever seeing thick sliced bologna that, like people in the South eat a bologna sandwich like that. It's like the Ron Jeremy of hot dogs when you slice it, you know. And so I don't know how else to describe it. It's like a big, girthy, fat, thick bologna. And I just thought, you know, like if you go up to the deli counter, ask for a pound of bologna, and they say how you want to cut, and you say in half, and then there you go.
Yeah,
I don't recall ever seeing bologna. I see that like the bologna sold where it's sliced like an eighth of an inch.
That's what she said.
Yeah. But when I think of like the Southern bologna sandwich, it's at least like a quarter of an inch.
There's no such thing as what you just said, a Southern bologna sandwich. It's bologna.
All right, Southern bologna sandwich.
There you go.
Sorry.
Baloney.
It's the Yankee in me coming out saying, what the fuck, okay?
What the fudge, huh?
Can't you just eat a hot dog like a normal person?
Well, how many times have you gone to a deli, though, and ordered the Ron Jeremy sausage is what I want to have.
No, he just picks up that Red
Hot
Mama sausage.
It's delicious, don't get me wrong.
But he gets the Red Hot Mama sausage from the gas station.
Those are good. There's nothing wrong with those.
What, a Red Hot Mama?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's for your mouth, though. The other way, it's a little stingy. 1086, right?
A quarter pound of meat in his mouth, right?
That's it.